Welcome to the Well One Connection, a podcast from Huron Regional Medical Center. The right care is right here.
I am here today with Rebecca Storm, DNP, here yes. at the HRMC Physicians Clinic. Rebecca, you are a nurse practitioner with mm-hmm. your doctorate degree.
Yep.
You've been in Huron your life. Your whole life,
pretty
essentially,
much, yes.
And you practice here at the Physicians Clinic. You do family care and women's care.
I do, yeah. I initially was hired to do women's wellness, some prenatal care, and then out of kind of need in the community, I also added family practice. And that's what my degree is in family medicine. So I can see patients across the lifespan. And then I have an interest in women's health and OB as well. So I feel like I have the perfect job. I get to do both.
And so that transitions really nicely as well, too. So if I'm seeking women's care mm-hmm. and then maybe somebody's facing a pregnancy, then they get to keep seeing you as that mm-hmm. trusted women's provider for
yes.
them.
And that's been actually really great because when I first started and was seeing only women's health, loved that. But I also love the fact that after your pregnancy, I can also see your baby.
Yeah.
I can see you again for your 6-week visit. If you have another child that needs a primary care provider, I can see that child. And then sometimes that kind of snowballs into if your husband needs something or your father-in-law. So I do love to be able to provide care to the whole family if necessary.
Yeah. So that's such a benefit of family care mm-hmm. and the way that works. So it can start off with a little mm-hmm. child that you're mm-hmm. seeing. So that's great that you can be able to see across the span. So we recently were chatting about care across the mm-hmm. lifespan. And so mm-hmm. it changes no matter whether you're a woman or a man, mm-hmm. but to talk about women's health a little bit, how does that change and what is required? You know, let's just say sure. back to the basics, black and white. What do we need to have mm-hmm. done? And when do we start needing getting those exams as women?
Initially, when a girl comes in for her well child exam and she is even prepubescent, but maybe in a stage in her life when her friends are starting to get their periods and there's some changes going on with their mm-hmm. body. I feel like that's when my conversations start is, what do you know about puberty? Typically, it's a really uncomfortable conversation, particularly when I'm needing to do that with boys. But with girls, I just want to know kind of where they're at in their knowledge level. Usually their mom is with them, so it's a great time to talk about just having those conversations at home, because I think that's where those conversations really need to start. Mm-hmm. Finding out what they know and then telling them what to anticipate as we move through puberty. And then that continues up until their teenage years. We talk about once a year, I want them coming in for a well child exam. We could talk about maybe preventing sexually transmitted infections. We talk about irregular menses. We talk about contraceptives. Lots of different conversations happen, and those happen in their well child, which to me, that's really when we start talking about women's health mm-hmm. is maybe even at 12.
Yeah.
Coming in annually is really important because we can have those conversations, identify issues early, intervene early, because my goodness, there's no need to suffer with anything. Mm-hmm. Then starting at age 21 is when women need to start having their first pap smear. Pap smear recommendations have changed over the years. So current recommendations are starting at age 21, we do a pap smear, which is a cervical cancer screening, every 3 years until 30. If you're not due for a pap smear, we still want to see you annually, again, for just a well woman exam. That may or may not include a pelvic exam. We do recommend a pelvic exam every year, but the pap smear part of that pelvic exam will only be every 3 years. If you have an abnormal finding, then we have to see you more regularly. Then starting at age 30, we still want to continue seeing you every single year. Pap smear recommendations change to every 5 years, and that'll go until you're 65, possibly even longer, depending on your state of health and your willingness to do those mm-hmm. exams. And if you've had abnormals in the past. Starting at age 40 is typically when we recommend screening mammograms. Sometimes we do start those earlier if there's a strong family history of breast cancer. Annual mammograms starting at age 40. They recently moved the recommendations for colonoscopies to age 45. That needs to be done every 10 years if they're normal. More frequently if there's an abnormal. And at every preventative visit, we talk about what those recommendations are. We talk about what screenings are age appropriate, what screenings would be age appropriate based on your risk factors. We talk about your blood pressure. We talk about your weight. We talk about your immunization. So we talk about those things that are really meant to keep you healthy. And if a patient doesn't need anything else from us, that's all we need to see you for, is that preventative visit once a year.
Yeah. So those are such good guidelines for us to remember, because I think even for myself, we get busy and we get moving, and then you go, oh my gosh, how long has it been? But if you keep those annual visits, you're more able to stay up on those things that you need and make sure you're getting those mammograms at 40 and those types of those types of screenings. Sometimes you do see more advanced issues happen when people have waited, even in younger women or younger girls. What are some things that you see sometimes because maybe they have not accessed the regular screenings?
In my younger patients, I see women and actually even some teenage girls with severe iron deficiency. They're having headaches, they're extremely tired, they're dizzy, having those types of symptoms. And that was from years of heavy menstrual periods. Had they been in and talking to us more frequently about that, we maybe could have intervened sooner before I've even seen people need blood transfusions from that. That's kind of in my younger population. We can also sometimes catch some thyroid disorders that maybe you've had for years. Diabetics, we catch diabetes at those annual visits all the time. It's best to catch it early rather than when your hemoglobin A1C is 13 and now you need insulin. So catching those things sooner when they're less severe is really important. We've seen, you know, advanced cervical cancer that I think could have been detected years earlier through just a regular preventative exam. So there's reasons why we do everything we do. There's reasons why we check things as frequently as we do or as infrequently as we do. In smokers, we do annual lung cancer screenings if you meet a particular set of criteria. And that can catch nodules early that may turn into something, you know, concerning later. And then we monitor those. So just like a dentist, go in before you go in for your regular exams. When you don't need it, it would be best to come in when you don't need me versus coming in when now you got a real problem that we have to deal with. And I'm not saying that coming in annually prevents all your problems, not at all. But the whole goal of those visits are to identify things sooner rather than later.
Right.
Additionally, a lot of health insurance companies will cover those for you, those preventative visits at no cost to you, which I think is really important to keep in mind. Everything is expensive right now. My goodness, groceries are breaking me this summer with my teenagers at home. Can't keep enough food in the house. So to know that there's actually something that might not cost you anything.
Absolutely.
It's take advantage of that benefit because you're paying royally for your health insurance. So you better use that benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. And can it help us as well when we do have something acute that comes up? Does it help you as the practitioner know what's wrong with us because you kind of have that baseline and you know the patient?
The knowing my patients is crucial. Having an established relationship is really important. So also, if you come in with a concern and I never see you, but for once a year, I know that you're a relatively healthy person. So right off the bat, I know, okay, we have a problem here. Knowing your history, knowing what kind of allergies you've had in the past, how you've responded to things before, that's really important. It makes my job easier. It also makes, I think, being the patient, it makes it much easier. You don't need to hesitate to come in. Just come in and talk to us. Look, you can tell us anything. We've heard it before. Nothing's really shocking at this point.
I think that's something, you know, specifically to you that I've heard, but to many of our practitioners, getting to know you and that you really do want to get to know your patients too, not just on a clinical level so that you know all of their history, but that's the benefit of being small town and you kind of get to know them as a person.
Yeah. Which sometimes in a small town, I think can sometimes make it a little even uncomfortable in the beginning. As I get older, I remember less and less off the top of my head. So if I see you in the grocery store, I swear I do not remember without looking at my computer that you came with some kind of weird itchy thing, you know, months ago. So
nor do you care.
No, not at all. Because because I want to try to be the provider that I want. I want to feel comfortable letting a provider know if I've got something weird going on,
yeah,
and not hesitate to tell,
right,
you that.
And it's okay to see you in the grocery store later, and that's kind of the beauty.
Not gonna think
of
anything
it,
weird,
right,
about you. No. And I've also had the experience before I went back to graduate school of being a parent and not feeling heard. And I will listen to you. I will listen to what you have to say. I don't think you're crazy. I will listen to what you have to say and take everything you say into consideration when we decide, you know, what to test for, what to do, treatment plan, that type of thing. And when I applied for school, I made a vow to myself, if I get in, I'm gonna listen to people, because the patient tells me what's wrong with them. They tell me 80% of what I need to know. The patient tells me if I ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm. They know themselves, and, mm-hmm, and coming to see you, though, on an annual basis helps you to know them a little,
absolutely,
bit better and,
yep,
to be able to take care of those things that, mm-hmm, come up. Okay, wonderful. I am looking forward, hopefully in the future, to chatting with you about a little bit more of the prenatal side of, mm-hmm, it and what you can do to help our mamas-to-be in, mm-hmm, our community. But we so appreciate you spending some time with us today, and we'll chat with you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Well One Connection. This podcast is informational only and not intended to replace the advice of your healthcare provider. Heron Regional Medical Center, online at heronregional.org.